the conditions of each person's birth is in direct accord with their own past actions, that is, each person is born, either a vessel unto honor or one unto dishonor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Gal 6:7 NIV. When a person proclaims that they were born a homosexual, this is true and their homosexuality has been caused by their own more distant past. Moreover, they will continue to either be a homosexual or persecute homosexuals until they come to terms with the reasons why they were born into impotent lives of homosexuality. And the fact that they do not at present possess any knowledge of their past is because they presently dwell in the prison or the outer darkness that Jesus warned about. There are men and women who, because of the debts that remain as connections in their etheric field/mind, are incapable of marriage in accord with the teachings of Jesus with respect to the need to become one flesh, that is, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Matt 19:5 and KJ. Yet, because of the negative attachments that remain with each person from the debts accumulated in their more distant past, it is impossible for these people to even begin to enter into a true spiritual marriage that is ordained by God. And thus, the woman at the well was incapable of having a husband and incapable of receiving the living waters of healing. See woman at the well. And this is true of every aspect of the life that every person is living. The alchemical powers of the laws, a true alchemist therefore, is not a magician, a soothsayer, an illusionist or sorcerer, but rather, a student of truth who knows the laws and is able to put them to use and invoke them to bring about transformational results. From the deist perspective of the American Constitution, an alchemist is a student of the laws of nature and nature's God that reigns supreme over all of creation, and in understanding the knowledge of the laws, he is able to overcome all obstacles and difficulties as he learns directly from the source of all knowledge, see true prophet, that transcends the opinions and philosophies of man, and enables the alchemist to bring about his own transformation. In explanation, as Einstein theorized, if you could harness the power of the atom, the results of this interaction would produce a chain of events the likes of which few men at that time could imagine. And in the process of bringing about the results of atomic fission, it wasn't that man invented anything to bring about the results associated with nuclear power, but rather, that man engaged the laws in the endeavor to bring about results that was difficult for the average person to even envision. Einstein and others who harnessed the power of the atom merely used the laws that are in effect in a controlled environment to bring about certain desired results. The sun and stars generate light, heat, and power through fission. Atomic power is the result of fission. What man fails to recognize is the fact that, as the saying goes with respect to, as above, so below, what is true of the macrocosm is also true of the microcosm when the opposite polarities of male and female come together in the proper environment, under the proper conditions. A type of alchemical fission is brought about which not only greatly increases consciousness and awareness, but can be naturally harnessed to bring about the spiritual Gnostic objective of the heightening and enlargement of human consciousness. And what I am portraying is not in any manner a consensus opinion between carnal men and women, but rather a consecrated divine union that is the capacity to develop and evolve the feminine powers of mind in the woman, as well as the masculine powers of mind in the man, and then permit these evolved polarities and realities of mind to interact on a higher plane that transcends the organic vibratory frequencies of the earth in this realm. Where consensus opinion is cooperative philosophical opinion that produces man's temporal cultures, the biofission that enables the heightening and enlargement of human consciousness is an alchemical equation that brings about the next stage of birth within the husband and wife. As I have demonstrated in the above, a mystic is a spiritual scientist who explores without the traditional limitations associated with the science of man. But an alchemist is one who is able to acquire the knowledge of the mystic and especially the knowledge of the laws, and then utilize the laws within the controlled environment of his own physical body to bring about his own transformation. God did not in any manner abandon man to the mental darkness and ignorance of this world. Each person already has all that they need to transcend the ignorance and sufferings of this world and see and know all things as they truly are. But to accomplish this, you will have to live in accord with the royal law and put the knowledge received to work in your life. In understanding the process of thought generation and elevation between a true husband and wife as outlined in the article on the divine marriage, it can be said that the body and mind of the wife can in fact be portrayed as the true philosopher's stone. In the same way that you can't produce the effects of nuclear fission in any environment of your choosing, and the splitting of the atoms must be accomplished in accord with the requirements of certain laws in a controlled environment which bring this event about. The same is true with respect to alchemy and the process of spiritual transformation. When Jesus stated in the above teaching that was removed from the Gospels that, when two shall be one, that which is without is that which is within, and the male with the female, neither male nor female, see divine pattern. He was not so much making reference to the sexual union of man and woman, which is a primary part of the equation, but rather the higher union of mind and spirit that initiates the laws and brings about the spiritual biofission on the level of mind and spirit, when carried out in accord with the proper requirements, that enables the next stages of birth to be brought about within the environment of the consecrated union of a divine marriage. And like Dorothy in the Land of Oz, the prodigal sons and daughters will discover that they had the innate ability to return home. As soon as they're prepared to make the journey in the way, they already possess the power and ability to bring the necessary transformational journey about. And if they have become free of the entanglements of the laws, which drain and anchor them to the prison mindset of lost organic consciousness, the only requirement is that they apply the esoteric knowledge of the laws in the proper environment in order to initiate the process of mental and spiritual alchemical fission that supercharges their efforts.
Yeah.
It is important to recognize that what is being portrayed is not a consensus opinion between male and female, but rather the development of the powers of consciousness, mind and being of both polarities, male/female, which expands and deepens the minds of the joined opposites in a type of matrix of mind that causes both the 12 spheres of mind and the 7 spiritual centers to interact in a process of alchemical biofission transformation that has the potential to initiate the next stage of birth, which transcends the limitations of this world. A consensus opinion means that you accommodate each other in ways that bring physical harmony, which is often based upon pure sexual or emotional need. I am making reference to a relationship and union that develops a man as a man, a woman as a woman, and evolves the third reality of higher mind that is neither male or female as an integral part of the union. In the same way that an embryo is one and yet it is comprised of a perfect balance of the DNA of its mother and father, it is this parallel manifestation of oneness that must be the foundation of the divine marriage that brings about the next stage of soul birth. While the opposite polarities and associated powers and abilities of man and woman are presented in the above and in the supporting links, the spiritual alchemist utilizes his knowledge of the laws to bring about the transformation of what is carnal and base, in the process of making it the most desirable and precious substance that can be achieved and possessed by mankind, that is, allegorically portrayed as lead and gold. Like the scientist who harnesses the power of the atom, he uses his knowledge of the divine pattern and the interactive polarities of man and woman in the environment that Creator God provided for this purpose, to bring about man's ultimate destiny. In the same way that man and woman are imbued with the power of Creator God to bring forth new life on a physical level, they are in like manner imbued with the power of Creator God to bring about the next stages of birth that complete and perfect man. And this innate potential that few carnal men can comprehend already exists as part of the spiritual DNA and integral design of the powers with which man and woman are imbued, by virtue of the fact that they are created in the image and likeness of Creator God. In the website Divine Strategy, I demonstrate the absolute folly of the religious concept that God wants us to know and philosophically believe doctrines which are put forth as truth, in the manner that man imagines, as well as the folly of the atheist that if there were a God, that he would reveal himself. In order to know God, you must not only first know thyself, but you must overcome certain obstacles which have been intentionally placed in your path by the laws that control every aspect of the life that you are presently living, laws which present a constant array of tests which perfect and make you whole and complete. Once the laws are understood, Jesus taught alchemy in the concepts of the Sermon on the Mount, and the concepts he taught was in recognition that most people dwell in what Jesus portrayed as a prison. The objective of the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount was to free the people from constrainment, enabling the prodigal sons to begin the journey out of this, the far country, and return to the kingdom. What Jesus was presenting was a foundational means to free themselves from the laws which control every facet of this world, laws that were inhibiting them from making choices that were in their best interests, and would free them from pursuing their own higher destiny. The acknowledgement of Jesus that some were whole and did not need a physician is not understood by the flock of believers today. That is, now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are whole have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Matt 9:10-12. Thus, not only did Jesus heal through the process of making whole, but those who were already whole did not need the physician who came to heal. And that the conditions which Jesus portrayed as being in prison, see the prison, is brought about by the laws which return to each of us the fruit of our own actions, and is presented in the words of Jesus to one who he had healed. "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. Lest a worse thing come unto thee." John 5:14 KJV. And once properly understood, it is the laws within which man is immersed as a fish in water that perpetually brings about his past actions to create his future events and experiences. In addition to those who were portrayed as dwelling in a type of prison which controlled their physical experiences of life, Jesus further portrayed the impact of the laws upon the cognitive perception and understanding of the multitude of people. Thus, because they lacked the necessary wholeness, Jesus portrayed them as blind and hard-hearted, incapable of understanding the higher reality of the soul and the mysteries of the kingdom of God, because of the laws which physically, mentally, and spiritually incapacitated them. That the laws maintain attachments to other people, and these negative attachments act as a drain upon our vital life force and bioenergy that is necessary to bring about freedom from enslavement by the laws, as well as higher consciousness and greater depth of understanding, is seen in the warning of Jesus. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Matt 5:23-24 in KJ. The altar is the final temple that you are attempting to build within yourself, that is, your body, mind, and spiritual energies that animate your being. And it is impossible to build the final temple so long as you have unsatisfied debts with your brothers and sisters, which negative attachments to others constitute the shackles that inhibit you. And once this loss of bioenergy is understood, it is impossible to make any real mental or spiritual advancement so long as the negative attachments remain. Those who were not imprisoned by the laws were portrayed as dwelling in the outer darkness of mind and being, see outer darkness, and remained blinded and incapable of receiving the higher knowledge of the way, because they had yet to bring about the necessary spiritual transformation that would enable them to break free of the mental and spiritual limitations of the organic mind of the physical body vessel. In the parable of the wedding feast, which is often referred to as the call, see the call, even those who came and had not put on the necessary wedding garment were cast back out into the outer darkness of mind and being, that is. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Matt 22:12-14 NKJ. If you send your son or daughter away to the finest university that money can procure, and they spend their days partying, getting drunk, smoking dope, and engaging is a life absent of all moral standards, would you be surprised that they failed to achieve the academic standards which you envisioned? That choices have consequences, and that each person reaps the fruit of their previous actions, is the reality that most of mankind find objectionable when confronted by how the laws of God move the experiences of man while he dwells in the earth. Like the college student that wants to constantly party and stay stoned while being issued a degree without actually earning it, the lost prodigal sons and daughters do not want to be held accountable for their actions. Therefore, Few people understand anything beyond a very rudimentary superficial perception of the life they are presently living, because having never put on what is portrayed above as the required wedding garment, they must dwell at a very elementary level of mind and being, in order to begin the process of building the necessary foundation that permits advanced growth and development. Without this foundation, they dwell in shacks built with cards upon the shifting sands of man's temporal cultures. Moreover, like the drunken stone student, they listen to those who promote the idea that their intoxicated state is normal. Few students or critics of the Gospels understand the true meaning of the text, because they dwell either in the prison or the outer darkness and therefore do not possess the cognitive ability or depth of mind necessary to understand the great truths that are being presented in both the parables, as well as the allegory of the written text. As Jesus himself stated, "And why call you me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Luke 6:46 KJV. Those who have been imprisoned by the laws, or dwell in the outer darkness because they have not yet put on the alchemical wedding garment of spiritual purity, are simply incapable of understanding not only the true meaning of the scriptures, but the illusions that immerse the whole of this world in what is portrayed as Plato's cave. While those who truly believe and have demonstrated this faith and belief by doing the things which Jesus said will find the alchemical interaction of the laws bringing about their own transformation that will enable them to begin to enter in at the narrow gate. See, as the inner door to the kingdom begins to open unto them. Most religious systems that have survived into our present time are bastardized paths which attempt to get around the alchemy of the laws that Jesus taught. For good reason, Jesus did not promote Eastern meditation, or what is known as the way of the monk. Traditional religions that are embraced by the masses are often secularized, exist to exert control over the masses, and provide monetary support for the priests and clergy. These systems of religion, which Karl Marx portrayed as the opium of the masses, fill the void for carnal man's desire for instant gratification. Repeat these words, say this prayer, perform this ritual sacrifice, this animal join this church, call God by this name, and their claim is that you will receive your reward in the afterlife. But that is not what Jesus taught, and this fact is expressed in the recently discovered Gospel of Philip, where it states, "Those who say that first they shall die and then they shall arise are confused. If they do not first receive the resurrection, while they live, they will not receive anything when they die." See, as demonstrated in the foregoing above, Jesus warned that unless you achieve the next stage of birth, you cannot enter the kingdom, and physically dying without achieving this next stage of birth is failure to bring about one of the primary goals and objectives of life. One of the great realities that is not realized today is the fact that the whole design of creation and the laws which move and control our every aspect of life are all designed to bring us success. But because man has free will, like the prodigal son who squandered away his inheritance through riotous living and an attachment to the what has been portrayed as the god of this world, the prodigal son brought great hardship and suffering upon himself. What was the source of this suffering? The fruit of man's own previous actions. And what Jesus taught to the multitudes of the people was in fact the alchemy of the laws that would free them from their ignorance, suffering, imprisonment and mental limitations that made them virtual slaves to the consciousness, God, of this world. But since the vast majority of people remain unaware of the fact that their every action has consequences, and they reject the reality that it is the laws of this realm which return back to us the fruit of our every word, thought, desire and deed is seen in the warning, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Gal 6, 7 NKJ, man's ignorance and free will initiates the movement of the laws which bring about his own ignorance and suffering. Jesus said, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Matt 22:14 NKJ, and those who have proven themselves by doing as he taught and commanded thereby, freeing themselves from the prison and the limitations of the outer darkness which are invoked by negligent actions with respect to the laws, possess the freedom to invoke the positive phases of these same laws, and permit the very organic laws of creation to bring about their alchemical transformation, to harness the very forces of creation to bring about their objective destiny, Man must invoke these laws and forces within himself, and in moving in harmony with the laws, permit the laws and forces of creation to bring about the necessary alchemical transformation that manifests his ultimate destiny. The Apostle Paul taught the necessity to put to death. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, call 3:5 NIV, and this death is accomplished through the alchemical spiritual transformation that brings about the expansion of mind and the manifestation of wholeness. This condition of death was put forth as necessary by Paul to the degree that Paul warned, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Rom 8:13 KJV. And from the perspective of the threefold realities of birth that cast us into the role of cosmic ovum and sperm in the womb of Mother Earth, if your thinking and life remains earthly and polarized to organic male or female, then ye shall die. Yet, if you permit the laws to work in their intended fashion, you will find yourself evolving through the next stages of soul birth that is one of the primary objectives of the life you are presently living. The quickest way to unleash the laws of creation is to understand the cosmology of self and how you are very much the holographic microcosm within the macrocosm of the universe, imbued with the same divine pattern of Creator God in whose image and likeness you exist. Therefore, in the allegory of the Genesis account of creation, Eve was made from the side of Adam to be his helpmate. What does this mean? Prior to their separation in the allegorical mystical account, Eve was an integral part of Adam, and in their separation, the spiritual DNA was divided across the spectrum of the two, so they could interact and bring forth offspring. And this was not only true physically, but was in like manner holographically true both mentally and spiritually. And it is this interaction of the opposite polarities of the divine pattern in the controlled environment of spiritual biofission brought about by the wisdom of the true alchemist that produces the spiritual Gnostic objective of the heightening and enlargement of human consciousness. As demonstrated in the article The Divine Marriage, man and woman are imbued with the same pattern with which all of creation is manifest within. And while it is very difficult to control and move the laws in the outer world, those who have broken free of physical constraints of the prison and the mental and cognitive limitations of the outer darkness have the innate ability to invoke and move the laws within themselves and thereby bring about a spiritual or chemical transformation that will move them toward their ultimate destiny. In the same way that Jesus taught that freedom from the prison and the outer darkness can be achieved through consciousness and right actions in the outer world, the same laws of creation can be invoked within oneself by what you put into your body in the way of food and other substances, the thoughts you entertain, the breath in conjunction with the positive and negative polarities of creation, which can be unleashed through the spiritual interaction with one's wife or husband in the environment of what Jesus portrayed as the good ground. See, if it is true that our very physical bodies represent the alchemical philosopher's stone upon which the transformation from base to precious substance must be brought about, then the long-ignored statement of Paul must be revisited through more enlightened eyes of understanding, that is, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two," he says, "shall become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Cor 6:15-20 in KJ. What does it mean that any other sin is outside your body, while sexual immorality is a sin against your own body, which body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And what is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Why? It is the final temple that is allegorically portrayed in the scriptures as demonstrated at the beginning of this article, see temple. And its transformation is the application of the laws within the construct of a consecrated divine marriage that brings about the subsequent stages of birth that Jesus stated was necessary to enter in the inner kingdom. In the same way that the first stage of birth is brought about through the interaction of male and female in the creation of a fetus, and Jesus taught that you must be born again to achieve the next stage of birth and entrance into the kingdom. The article The Divine Marriage demonstrates how spiritual husband and wife can invoke the laws and forces of creation within themselves. In order to bring about the necessary spiritual transformation that initiates the next stage of soul birth. Yet, the very environment of marriage has been destroyed with great harm inflicted upon the young, impressionable minds of children. With the resulting defilement associated with our sexualized cultural lifestyle, see Lilith, the demonic reality of the modern feminist movement, which has deprived the people of even the opportunity of receiving their inheritance as the offspring of God. Moreover, our culture has robbed the people of understanding both the reason and potential of their gender differences. Once again, the words of Dr. Luan Brizendini in her book entitled The Female Mind are of primary importance to understand, where she writes that there is no unisex brain. Girls arrive already wired as girls, and boys arrive already wired as boys. Their brains are different by the time they're born, and their brains are what drive their impulses, values, and their very reality. I know it is not politically correct to say this, but I've been torn for years between my politics and what science is telling us. I believe women actually perceive the world differently from men. If women attend to those differences, they can make better decisions about how to manage their lives. As a husband or wife, it is absolutely necessary not only to recognize this difference, which is the result of being opposite polarities within the one, but it is necessary to foster those differences and innate abilities which cause man and woman to see and perceive the world differently and often opposite from one another. As explained in the article The Divine Marriage, not only must a man or woman not expect their spouse to see and perceive the world as they do, but they must permit the thoughts, the perceptions, and the impressions of their spouse to expand their consciousness while maintaining a connection with their native gender reality. As stated in the book Brain Sex by Ann Moyer and David Jessel, where they wrote, men are different from women. They are equal only in their common membership of the same species, humankind. To maintain that they are the same in aptitude, skill or behavior is to build a society based on a biological and scientific lie. With a warning that what you will read in this book about the differences between men and women may make both sexes angry or smug. Both reactions are wrong. If women have reason to rage, it is not because science has set it, not their hard-won struggle towards equality. Their wrath should rather be directed at those who have sought to misdirect and deny them their very essence. And in appraising the vast difference in the feminine intuitive mind from its male opposite, the authors conclude that women should contribute their specific female gifts rather than waste their energies in the pursuit of a sort of surrogate masculinity. A woman's greater imagination can solve intractable problems, be they professional or domestic, at one apparently intuitive stroke. A woman who has been indoctrinated by our culture and system of education to think as surrogate men, a condition which forces her to reject not only her own innate intuitive cognitive powers of mind and being that most men not only don't possess, but reject because they don't understand these feminine abilities, will be forced to greatly struggle to undo the harm that was inflicted upon her by our culture. In the same way that many indigenous cultures inflict harm through genital mutilation of the female at puberty, our own Western culture inflicts harm through the mental mutilation of robbing a woman of her inherent gifts that not only separates, but can be seen as saving her male counterpart from his genetic fate and limitations, which invoke his death through the failure to achieve the next stage of birth. In the same way that an egg needs a sperm, and a sperm needs an egg, in order to fulfill its destiny, there's a higher soul and spiritual reality that can only be achieved when a man and woman enters into a true divine marriage. And the building blocks which bring about this second stage of birth is not only the invocation of the laws, but the nourishment of thoughts and impressions which bring about the spiritual objective presented in the above spiritual Gnostic objective of the heightening and enlargement of human consciousness. While men and women have interacted sexually, emotionally, and culturally since the dawn of time itself, their gain is usually at a snail's pace at best. It is not until both the man and woman become cognizant of the mental void that immersed each of them in opposite prisons, becoming conscious of their own shortfalls and genetically inherited strengths, that they can begin to solve the perplexing riddle of the gender differences. And becoming cognizant of one's voids as a man or woman is merely the beginning of the path to overcome the shackles of those voids that inhibit man's progress. Spiritual alchemy represents the transformation of self that fulfills the requirement that makes the two one flesh, and by bringing this transformation about, enables the seeker/disciple to restore wholeness within themselves. In the many allegorical accounts presented in the Gospels, Jesus healed by bringing about wholeness, but few believers understand what this means. In the allegorical account of Genesis, Adam was in wholeness only when Eve was united to him, and they are often portrayed as such in Jewish mysticism. In the same way that the second day of creation is the only day not portrayed as being good, all division and separation brings death from the perspective of the higher reality of being. Adam and Eve were warned not to eat the fruit of the tree of duality, aka tree of knowledge of good and evil, and yet, few biblical students are able to take this allegorical reality and extend the pattern into every aspect of life. On a level of mind, the individual thoughts of a man or woman represent the fruit of the tree of duality. And in the same way that an ovum or sperm can be seen individually, it must also be understood that from an individual perspective, the destiny of an individual ovum or sperm is death. And in taking the pattern to the next level of creation and birth, this is also true of man and woman. On a mental level, the thoughts, perceptions, and impressions of a man and woman represent the fruit of the tree of duality. And in the same way that in the allegory of the Genesis account, man was banished from the garden so they could not put forth their hand and eat also of the tree of life and inherit eternal life, the duality of man and woman can only be overcome when they join and become one flesh in a divine marriage. And you must take the fruit of duality, which is the gender-based mindset, thoughts, and impressions, and bring about a third force balance that bears the fruit of the tree of life.